Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, if you can't listen live, all of our shows can be found at Answers Network. And I would really appreciate it if you could all do me a wonderful favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know that can benefit from a particular subject. This is just one powerful way that we can make a positive difference in the world together. Now, my co-host is always a good fit when it comes to making a positive difference in the world. Steve Calver partners with nonprofit organizations, both domestically and internationally, who are already making a positive difference in the world and want to do more, and they want to do it better. As well as, he's helping high-capacity families with an investment banking model who want to make a positive difference through philanthropy. Now, having over 20 years experience in marketing, developing strategic relationships in the private, public, and nonprofit sectors, this allows Steve to do what he preaches in the title of his book, Doing Good Better. Steve, thanks for joining me.
Alan, thank you. Yes, it is all about a journey. And as you know, my heart and my interest, this is a journey into doing good better. And so anyway, I appreciate you having me on. And I'm really excited about our guest today.
Absolutely. And I was so glad when you sent me over some information so that I could learn more about what she was doing. I think, you know, I mean, I got back to you and I said, I'm in. Let's get her on. So for everybody out there, our guest today is Dr. Ana Jimenez-Tami. And she is the founder of the executive and executive director of the Orange County Children's Therapeutic Arts Center. It's a nonprofit 501c3 organization located in the city of Santa Ana, and she founded it in the year 2000. So now she holds a PhD in educational psychology from the University of Southern California, a bachelor's and master's degree in music and psychology from Florida State University. And during the past 40 years, she has dedicated her life to helping communities at risk and families with special needs students. And she's been on various local, state, and national boards that involve youth and the arts, including the BSA Arts and Disability, the California Arts Advocate, and the NACOPRW, which is the National Conference of Professional Puerto Rican Women. and she's been recognized by numerous awards and continuously in the communities for her contributions in the field of arts and culture, as well as education and social services. Now, some of her awards include Women Who Make a Difference in Orange County Award, the Orange County Register Hero of the Award, and the Orange County Department of Education Outstanding Contributions to Education Award. And that's just to name a few. We wouldn't have time to do the show if we listed all of them. So, Ana, welcome to Answers Network.
Good morning, Alan and Steve. Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, it is our pleasure. And I think right now, I think the best way to start, because as soon as you got on here and you started speaking, I thought, this is a person of passion. So let's talk about what your passion is.
My passion is this nonprofit organization that I started 25 years ago in honor of my parents. After I got married, we moved to California, and I've been here since then. And unfortunately, my parents had a tragic death, and I wanted to honor their memory. And I wanted to contribute to society and divert, you know, all the negativity in the world and youth getting into crime. And I thought, hey, the arts is something fun that youth like, and it can also be empowering for children with special needs. So I started this nonprofit 25 years ago, and I put my teaching background on hold for a little bit until I got going. And then I said, wait, this is a lot of work. I better focus on this nonprofit. And I've been doing it all these years.
So why this mission? There's a lot of things that we can do. To honor our families, but you've specifically gone for arts, kids, families, and those people that are potentially at risk. Why this mission?
Yeah. Hey, Alan and Anna, let me chime in here. So Anna, you have this incredible heart for kids, and you see where there's a family that might have a child with unique mm-hmm. needs or a special mm-hmm. need. And you've created this program to help bring out the best in them.
Yes.
You know that the arts is something that stimulates their heart, their thinking, mm-hmm. Their artistic abilities. And I remember that one of the first times that I was at the center, little girl, probably 12, 13 years old, comes up and is blind and has some life challenges. And boom, it was like Pavarotti. She was like amazing. And I know there's so many things in your life that you could be doing, but it's really the investment of kids to support mm-hmm. families that have unique or special needs. And it's all through the arts. You could be doing so much in your life, but this OpTech is just so amazing.
Thank you, Steve. And back to your question, Alan, why? Well, because as you know, reading my bio, I did study psychology. But I also learned the arts when I was very young. I used to be very shy, believe it or not, when I was very little. And music, more extroverted. So I realized if that can help me, why can't I utilize the arts as a tool for transformation? And also, as you well know, because you've done some very interesting interviews in the past, mental health can be a stigma for families. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to bring parents and youth to do therapy. But I discovered that the arts is the hook to bring them arts. So I realized, oh my God, that's it. The arts is the way to bring families in, and then we can little by little introduce them to other more traditional therapeutic interventions like counseling, family counseling, youth counseling. But it starts with the arts. The arts is the hook to get them engaged, to get them motivated. Because arts is fun and it brings joy to everyone. So that really amazing way to bring families inside the door. And then we can introduce them to parenting classes, therapy, and all these other support services that we do at our nonprofit.
Now, Steve, as someone who, by the way, nobody is ever told me they've thought of you as shy. I know that you have a process in regards to you make a decision of someone that you're going to work with, as far as your organization. And again, when we've talked, it's, they already need to be doing something good, and you're going to help them on how to do that even better. But I know that you make choices. What are some of the things that you saw when you said, okay, this is one that my heart tells me I need to get involved with?
Yeah, they're very simple. One was a trusted relationship of the current board of directors to OpTech. He and I have known each other for 15, 18 years. Amazing guy, Stuart. And when he first introduced me to Anna, and we got on a virtual call and had a conversation, without a doubt, it was hearing her heart and her passion and her enthusiasm. And then when we met in person, it was like a no-brainer. I was like, man, this is a lady that is just on fire to serve and to care for others. And you can see the enthusiasm just in her laugh and her heart is just exudes. So that's number one, is this relationship and the person, the passion around what it is that she's doing. The other is seeing the life transformation of those that are being served through the various programs, meeting the staff, meeting the team. They're committed. They're all in. And then you meet some of the families, but more importantly, you meet some of the children that are being cared for and nurtured and loved on, and really the skills that are being developed through the arts. And there's a big range of arts. You see their enthusiasm for life that would not take place otherwise. That to me was a no-brainer.
Excuse me.
Alan, I think Alan had to go to the restroom or sneeze. Anna, when you think about Octech, tell us, if you would, because we're talking about big picture and you, tell us a story about one or two students. Just kind of share with us, what is life like as a student of Octech?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. There's so many amazing stories at our agency because we serve the at-risk community and we also serve students with special needs. And when I talk about at-risk community, we are serving a huge population of families that are low income, that are really tempted to get into drugs, violence, you know, gangs, all of the negative stuff. Why they're at risk of falling into all of these social problems. And so when we get them engaged in the arts and all the other programs that we have at our organization, it just diverts them from all the negativity. And I can tell you that not only does it divert them, but it empowers them. It gives them a way for them to express, to heal, to transform. And we have so many stories that I can share one after the other. She comes from a very low background, you know, she did not get pregnant and she graduated from a university and now she's giving back to the community. I have many stories like that.
Well, and that would be great if you could share a couple of them, you know, in specific and providing some of the background in regards to, and one of the things that you just said, is you can be working with families and there is a culture or a pattern that has been happening that a lot of people wouldn't understand, but yet just stopping that pattern, you know, if it's a pattern of every female in their family is pregnant by the time they're 15, just changing that is a huge step. So some of these types of things, so that people can understand that there's so many different ways in which you are making a positive difference.
Yes, Alan. Well, the first one that I'd like to share, because she really is our very first, I call her OCTAC star. By the way, OCTA is short for OC Children's Therapeutic Art.
Yeah.
I call her our very first OCTA star. Here is a student that came to us when she was about 9-10 years of age. She's a young adult. I mean, she's an adult now. I wanted to say young adult, but no, it's been more than 18 years. She practically was raised at our organization. She was the very first student that I realized, oh my gosh, she's extremely talented, at risk. Coming from a Santa Ana community where there's a lot of gangs and, you know, everything I mentioned before. So I told mom, bring her every day to our organization. I will get her some tutors, college tutors, to help her with her academic studies. However, you need to promise mom, and she needs to promise, to come as often as possible. Full scholarship. She started learning piano, guitar, violin, flute, you name it. That's when I realized, wow, she's gifted. So she started coming. Anyhow, 18 years forward, this University, full scholarship, then transitioned into Harvard University. She graduated with a master's degree, Harvard University, and she will never forget her roots. She will never forget that music was the tool that helped her stay focused, doing good things, positive things in her life. Her studies immediately, like in 6 months, went from C and D's to from middle school. She graduated as the valedictorian. Imagine that.
Yep.
So there's a lot of research how music can help the brain. And this girl graduated with honors, then got her master's degree. And today she gives back to her community. She works and has her own consulting, business consulting firm. And she's doing a lot of great work. She'll be at our anniversary celebration, Steve. You'll meet her because I'm so proud of her. And that's one of our amazing stars. We have a lot of stars like her.
Well, now you, one of the things that I want to go to, I was also looking at the time. I think what I want to do is take a break, but when we come back, I'd like you to talk about how can parents advocate for the students with special needs. So let's take a break right now. When we come back, let's look into that. Again, we are speaking with Anna. We also have Steve on here, and we're talking about OCC TAC. Is that how you call it, Anna?
OCTAC. Yes.
OCTAC.
OCTAC. Okay. Yes. We're talking about OCTAC. So everybody, stay with us. Oh, in fact, Anna, why don't you give us a website that they can go to for those that want to kind of follow along and be looking at things while we're talking about it.
Sure. www.occtac.org.
Got it. All right. So feel free to log on to that. Open up another box in your computer. Start looking at that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practice lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We are speaking with Dr. Anna Jimenez-Hami, and we are talking about the Orange County Children's Therapeutic Arts Center. And when we went to break, the question was brought up in regards to how can parents advocate for students with special needs?
Yes, Alan. Well, the first thing is that parents need to educate themselves about their child's special needs. They really need to learn, try to do, you know, either learn from others or take a class or research their child's special needs. First, they can ask for help. They need to go to the schools and they can ask for help from the school administrators to the regular and special educators to the different, you know, it's something called the IEP team, individual educational plan. So there's a team of specialists that come together from the principal, special ed teacher, regular teacher, physical therapist, occupational, all the people in charge of the psychologists, of course, everyone in that is part of that IEP team, they out their child's condition and how they can improve. Now, sometimes families that don't speak the language well, that their English is not that great, then they need to find an advocate to help them translate the information so they understand. And they have that right. They should be able to have all the documentation in their you know, dominant language, so they understand the condition and all the challenges, friends too. So they should also learn about organizations as OCDAC, where they can take their children or their youth after school to engage in all these additional enrichment and educational activities that can empower them. Because I have seen some miracles happen, Alan, at our organization with children with disabilities. I kid you not. A child with autism that cannot, you know, socialize with other children. Instruments, you know, a child with selective mutism, which is a psychological condition that did not speak before, through music, she's singing, they start talking. There's the arts is really amazing and transformational. I can go on, but
yeah, no. So, Steve, what are some of your questions that you have for Anna?
Anna, what would life be like for one of these kids if they could not be a part of such a unique special program like OCTEC? And it is certainly the program, but it's also the people that are there that are caring for the kids. So what would life be like if they didn't have that combination of the right program and the right people caring for them and on this life journey with them?
So basically they would be at the level that is perceived, which is not as advanced as they could be. In other words, they would not have the potential or opportunities to grow and get better and truly improve their emotional, psychological well-being. They can improve and they can grow exponentially if they get the opportunities.
Now, Anna, you mentioned the IEP process. If you can share with our audience a little bit about that, because one of the things that I found, and it is something that I'm familiar with and have sat in on with many families because of our position at also working with at-risk youth from the transport side. But I'm amazed at how many parents don't even know that this is something that's available to them. And so,
exactly.
So, you know, if you can, two things. One is explain how they can contact their school district, how they can ask for it, and then walk us through a little bit about what they're going to go through so that they could be prepared for it. Because as you mentioned it, I know that it's a huge thing, but it's amazing how many parents I speak to where I'll just ask, well, you know, have you had an IEP, you know, with your child?
What is that?
You've told me.
Say, what is that?
I've never heard of it. And nobody at our district has ever mentioned that I have any right or ability to do this. So if you can touch on that.
It is sad. It is very sad, Alan. You're absolutely right. There's so many parents that have no idea of what is an IEP. They have no idea. They have a right to have that, you know, copy of that document, and that they need to be present because there's important information that will be covered at these meetings. They have a right to know. They need to equip themselves. They need to ask the right questions. Every year, once a child is diagnosed with a disability, even if it's a learning disability, a lot of kids in our society are even diagnosed and labeled, you know, learning disabled or ADHD. I'm sure you've heard those terms, you know, repeatedly. Sometimes, you know, this is another conversation, another topic at a different time. But when I was teaching at the university, I had a whole module that are bilingual into special education, because there's a history of overrepresentation of children that come from different cultures and different languages in special education. And it could be that they have an academic delay or that they need, you know, bilingual education, but then whatever the factors are, that they're diagnosed and placed in special education when what they needed was more academic instruction. So parents need to, not only do they need to understand the IEP and diagnose, they need second and third opinions and perhaps evaluation of the diagnosis pertaining to their child to make sure. Not that I, you know, I'm not throwing school districts under that, but it is important that they do their own external research to find out if indeed, you know, they have that type of disability or not. And so that's step number one.
Mm-hmm. Well, when
I can go on and on.
No, that's great. No, I think that's great. What I meant was, you mentioned about the school districts and you were concerned about throwing them under the bus. Okay, not to worry. As somebody who I've worked with over 120 school districts, and the reality of it is that there are some incredibly wonderful people that work with the districts that are so helpful, and they're so focused on helping kids that it's great. Just not all of them.
We're
not throwing out the whole mess under, but there are some that could learn from some of the others.
Exactly. And also teachers and school counselors make a big, big difference in the lives. I mean, I kid you not, I've worked with several school districts in Orange County, and it makes me sad when I hear parents coming to me and saying, "Dr. Anna, this school counselor said that my son has no future." How can you tell a parent something like this? A school counselor, Alan, it breaks my heart.
Well, unfortunately,
you tell that counselor?
Yeah, I know. This is somebody who finds himself in the wrong profession now. If you're not there because of your love for the kids, to try and help them in the greatest way possible, maybe it just wasn't the right career for you. You know,
exactly.
Maybe something else that you're much better at. Yeah. Please go do that.
Every child can succeed with the right support, motivation, enrichment. I will never, ever, ever accept a statement like that. Your child has no future. Wow. So it broke my heart. I had to go with this parent to the school and advocate for them because it was horrible, you know. And sometimes parents just need that little bit of support. But the IEP, going back to the IEP, I'm willing to come back, Alan, and talk about that in more detail.
Sure. I think that would be great. Now, are you working with any of the advocates, the parent advocates that are out there? I'm aware of some of them because I've worked with them on the adolescent transport side, but I would imagine that they would also be a great help. Are you working with them, and are they seeing the value of what you're doing? So they're wanting to be there so that they can explain to those at the district the value that your organization brings to these kids.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And they and with these parent advocates, they really, it makes a big difference for the families. And so it is very important that they do work with someone to support them, especially if they're struggling and yes, they're lost and they don't know what to do. There's a lot of very good souls in our, you know, society, in our community, and they just need to ask for help and get the help that they need. They need to be informed opportunities outside of the school districts. There's so many good nonprofits that help not only children and youth, but parents too, right? Mm-hmm. Education, with education and mentoring.
Yeah.
And I would love to chime in here with a question. You know, you've got this amazing program. We're hearing your heart. Now, this is a program and a service that's being offered to families. Some families might make a donation or a gift to OCTEC, but many people, whether it be companies, individuals, some foundations in Orange County or in LA, are supporting OCTEC as a nonprofit, so then you can say yes to kids. That's ultimately what it is that you're doing. Share with us, if you would, your budget. How does this work? If someone wanted to support OCTEC, how could they go about this?
Yes. So thank you, Steve. We provide 11 programs to the community, and all of the programs are integrated with the arts and more. I call it arts and more because we do family counseling, we do all these different programs. Anyone can contribute and support us through private donations or corporate giving. We get funded, our nonprofit is funded in different ways, from private donations to corporate gifts. Sometimes companies come and volunteer to get to know our organization, and then they give a contribution like they've done in the past. For example, Union Bank, U.S. Bank, Pacific Life, Disney, all of these companies, they bring their volunteers, they do a gift, which is beautiful. But we also have contracts with the Santa Ana Unified School District, with the County of Orange Healthcare Agency and Social Services, and the Regional Center of Orange County, which, Alan, is a very important entity for families that have children with disabilities.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. Anyway, I just got a text in regard from Steve. And so, Steve, I think you're going to have to go, but I do have a question for you before you go. One of the most amazing things that I learned from someone who spoke at one of your events is how philanthropy can be set up in a way that the donor gets to decide where the money that would end up going to the government in the form of taxes, so they can control that and direct it where it needs. So can you tell us, for those listening, a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, well, certainly when it comes down to either giving, philanthropy, stewardship, and whatever lane, it's a lot of the same. It's just a personal journey. It's really answering, if it's from more of a tactical standpoint, it's the answer to one question: pay taxes or give more. 100% of the time people say, I'm not going to pay taxes, I'm going to give more. So ultimately, then it's just process and tactics to how to do that. A lot of people just give because they have a heart that they want to see the life change of someone else. But certainly there's tactical things that one can do, whether it be with stock or a corporate ownership, if they own a home or property or different types of investments. There's a lot of ways to be strategic around the sale or the transfer of that. In fact, somebody could make a gift to OCTEC that might be listening that has a retirement account. You have mandatory withdrawals, and instead of taking the retirement withdrawal to yourself, you could just direct it to an organization like OCTEC. The gift goes to OCTEC, and you don't have to pay any taxes because it's not an income to you. You've just given it directly. So there's a lot of ways to be very strategic. But at the end of the day, really what it comes down to is, if you've felt that something has touched your heart, that you say, man, whatever it is I'm in, I want to be a part of this, then it's just about being good stewards to empower a person like Anna and her team to make a life change in those that she's serving, all these wonderful kids.
Right. Right. But the point that you made, and I remember when I heard it the first time, this light went off for me, because the example you just gave, and it was many of us that have a heart to do this, we will, that amount that needs to come out or whatever, we'll take that and go, well, I don't really need it right now, but I'll take it. But we take it out to ourselves, which then means that about a third of it's gone because we had to pay taxes on it. And then we take it and we pass it to give it to somebody else. It's like, you can give a third more.
Well, it actually works out to be about 50% more on that tactic. And this is why, as you take out, let's say you take out $10,000, like you said, a third of it is taxable. And then when you make a gift, you're only able to deduct so much of that gift until it maxes out. So if you just gave a gift directly from that entity, a donor advised account, right, foundation, or retirement account directly to, it's 100%. But at the end of the day, it's, you, does one feel inspired to say it's not about how much money, but it's about how many lives?
Yes.
It comes down to how many lives, how many children are going to be forever changed. That ultimately is really what it comes down to. And I just facilitated a lunch, and I even challenged that group to say, literally, that it's not, you know, that some people could add a zero to their gift and it won't change their life.
So, well, it goes to the initial introduction that I did, is you're going to people with a heart that wants to do this, and they're saying, I want to do good. And you're going, that's great. Here's how you can do good better.
Yeah, well, that's a great tagline. Anna, share with us, if you would, what is your budget? What is the Octech budget? How many kids are being served in families?
Yes.
You have more that you would like to, but you need resources to do that. And then October the 9th, there's a special event that's taking place. First time ever. Give us a little sense of what's taking place.
Yes. Okay. Three questions there. Our operational budget, Alan and Steve, is about 2.5 million, a little bit over this year. I think we're going a little bit higher. And we serve, I want to say, more than 8,000 kids every year, because we serve all elementary and middle school students at the Santa Ana Unified School District. We're the music and art vendor for the school district. So we go to all these kids, and that's more than 6,000 kids. And then we also have our, you know, small little headquarters, community-based organization in Santa Ana, where we serve between 1,000 and 2,000 kids, you know, every year. And of course, we also do a lot of programming outside of our organization, because our center has also, you know, different programs where we go to the homes of the parents and to some seniors, and we also work with community centers. So we're doing a lot of outreach also. All of that with only 2.5. Is that amazing? So it's amazing, right?
Yes.
Both at risk and special needs, and parents, and even older adults now. We also do some great programs for our isolated seniors through the arts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, thank you for joining us. I know I
absolutely. I Alan, thank you for having us. And then Anna, I just think that you have such an amazing heart. Thank you for what you're doing. And let me say this, because I think you're a little bit shy to say it yourself, but you founded this many years ago to serve families and kids. You're doing this as a volunteer. You've spent 25 years of your life as a volunteer, rolling up your sleeves and serving with a team and people and dealing with the county and the city and different things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I believe that you don't even have to answer this question, but what gets you excited and jacked up every day is seeing the kids' faces and their lives change because of what you and your team were able to provide to
that
them.
That is right.
And their investments in themselves. Those children and those kids and these young adults are investing themselves into saying, I see that my life can be better And so anyway, thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Steve. Anna, he hit it right there.
So Anna, stay with us.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. Steve had texted me and said that he had to run.
No problem.
But do stay with us. We're going to take another break here, but we're going to come back. So let's talk more about the upcoming event that's coming up when we come back from break. So for everybody, Stay with us. You're going to want to hear this. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Having a teenager at risk who is going through a traumatic experience can be difficult on parents, siblings, and all who are working with that young person. No family should have to go through this process alone. Westshield Adolescent Services is here to ensure you don't have to. Many of the psychologists and psychiatrists we work with have spoken about the stress families go through. Not just the young person, but the parents needing to get their child to a program where they can get the help they need. Westshield aims to lessen that stress. Every case goes through a thorough intake process with one of our knowledgeable, compassionate intake coordinators. We want to know the likes, the dislikes, and the fears of each child. This important information is taken into consideration when choosing the best suited team member for each individual teenager. Westshield agents come from all different walks of life, giving us a diverse group of team members to ensure a personalized, compassionate experience for every teenager. This allows us to make certain every young person we work with gets to the chosen program in the best possible state of mind. We contacted over 600 of the youth we've worked with in the past to see where they're at now. 97% of these individuals told us how much their lives had improved, that they had better relationships with their friends and families, had gone on to marry, have kids, and were now using the skills they learned in their program to raise their own children. Our role of transporting at-risk teenagers is a vital step in the process of ensuring a youth's ability to thrive in their new environment, and is a role we don't take lightly. The recovery process can be a long one, but like any journey, it started with a single step.
And we're back. We are talking with Dr. Anna Jimenez-Jame, and she's the founder of the Orange County Children's Therapeutic Arts Center. And when we went to break, I was asking you a little bit about the upcoming event. And I think if we can get something brought up on the screen, there we go. So Anna, tell us a little bit about this event that's coming up at the Santa Ana Elks Lodge.
Thank you, Alan. We are celebrating 25 years of community, creativity, and impact. I am so excited about this event because our very talented students will be performing, and we will share all the great accomplishments throughout the years. And it's just going to be a beautiful evening of celebration.
Well, let's go into some more details. What are people going to see? How can they get involved?
They can go.
And what I want to say, how can they get involved either by being there, or if they can't be there, how can they get involved to help you make a positive difference?
Thank you, Alan. Well, they can become a sponsor of the event, or if they want to come to the event, they can purchase tickets. It's all on our website right there, www.occtac.org.
That's
Orange
great.
County Children's Therapeutic Arts Center. It's the initials, www.occtac.org. They go to the website, yes.
And for those of you that are listening and not watching, that's Thursday, October 9th, 2025, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at the Santa Ana Elks Lodge, number 794 in Santa Ana, California. So again, for those of you that are local and you want to get tickets and come, I want to share with everybody that when I go to events like this, there's a high that you get that makes you feel like whatever it is that's going on around you from a negative standpoint, it dissipates because mm-hmm. you start focusing on all of the things that are good. And again, I cannot express enough how much this makes a difference, not just with these kids, but you will find it makes a difference in yourself.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee. Yes, Alan, because just like I have been giving as a volunteer for the past 25 years, it just warms my heart. It just brings me so much joy when I see these kids grow into young adults and win, you know, state competitions. And like I didn't share with you, but just came back from Korea because one of our kids mm-hmm. with autism won an international competition. And he was invited to Seoul, Korea to perform a beautiful classical piece. So he will be performing that evening. And, you know, it's just beautiful to see our students, you know, reach such great accomplishments, and they will be there performing also for our guests.
Now, it's funny. I have a question I've not asked. I don't know that I've asked anybody with a nonprofit this, but do you happen to know what your percentage breakdown based on how much is that goes towards helping
programs
and how much goes towards administration?
Okay, typically we spend more than $80,000. I want to say, 85% goes to programs and about 10, 12, 15% goes to admin or operations.
Okay. The reason I asked that is because that's what I would have guessed.
Yeah.
And it's this is how much I trust, you know, the fact that I knew what the answer was going to be, because I want to share with people out there to understand, those that know, again, I'm a detective, it's what I do. So I get hired and have been off and on for many, many years. I would get hired by high income people that are making a decision on where they're going to make their donations, because they want to know that they're putting it somewhere where it's going to do good. So I want to share with everybody, twice I was doing an investigation in which, in one case, that particular nonprofit was taking in about $90 million a year. Wow. And I did the investigation, and 59.6% of the money was going to administration.
Wow.
So think about that for a minute. That's a huge amount.
More than half. That's
yes.
Sad.
Well, and then I did another one, and it was 59 point something else. And this was one that was about a $30 million nonprofit, doing $30 million or taking in $30 million a year.
Wow.
And so then it dawned on me, and I started doing more investigation. There's a watchdog organization based out of New York that checks nonprofits. If it reaches 60%, they put a mark on you that says you're probably a fraud.
Wow, that's crazy.
Okay, so 59 point something means that you have accountants that are making sure that you can take as much as you possibly can. Wow. Those are nonprofits that give great nonprofits like yourself. It makes it harder for you to get money because people think, well, what if, you know, I remember reading about somebody who ended up with having three homes and, you know, and living somewhere, you know, or I had one to where we were able to show that the person running it had a private jet and two Rolls Royces.
Wow.
So what I'm trying to tell everybody out there is, call me if you want. I'll do your investigation. I'm not going to charge anything or whatever. you know, anytime you want to look into somebody to do it, make sure that you check it out, because there are so many wonderful people like Anna that are doing the right thing for all the right reasons, that that's where you want your donations to go. And don't let the fact that there's people doing things that aren't quite right in almost every walk of life. Don't let those few make you not want to place your heart in a place where it can do some good.
That is so true. Thank you, Alan.
Well, you're very welcome. And thank you for doing what you're doing. Again, to me, you are not only doing the legwork, you're the boots on the ground. You're doing everything that can be done, as well as trying to run it. All props to you.
Thank you.
For what you're doing.
It brings me joy, and I was very happy to hear that I could come to your podcast. So thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful. Anything I can do to share information and resources to all families in need, please don't hesitate to call us, at our organization.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, please, you can go to Answers Network. We'll have more information if you need it. Stay with us. We're looking at making some changes within the show. And if all goes well, I think everybody's going to be very pleased. So again, thank you for joining us, Anna. I'm planning to be there for your event.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm kind of scheduled to be out of town. I'm trying to make sure I get back in time. So
beautiful.
All right.
Great. Thank you. Looking You're forward welcome. To meeting you in person. Bye, Alan. Thank Bye you. Now.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.